DW.
I'm in a Polish bar in Berlin, Germany, but I'm not here today for their delicious pierogi. I'm here for a crypto party, an informal gathering where self-proclaimed technology geeks teach ordinary people how to encrypt their files and keep their digital internet footprints anonymous.
I'm Michael Schmidt, and I'm a teacher for programming.
Michael shifts around some tables for the 10 people who show up to his party. Some of them are very experienced in cryptography, while others are completely new to this world. So he starts them off with a short introduction.
Wo ist denn Krypto-Party Star? Da gehe ich am liebsten von den 90er Jahren aus.
He traces the history of counter-surveillance movements, making it clear that he believes the secret services of this world are definitely spying on us.
They have a system that's called Prism in place that collect these data and put it into an enormous data warehouse. They share it between different secret services.
Like everyone who throws crypto parties, Michael does not get paid to do this. He seems to be motivated by a sincere desire to help people evade the government's gaze.
I don't understand with my logic, as I know this for many years now, that not everybody is encrypting. Why would you shout all the time? Why would you tell everyone everything? In two generations, the people will look back and would ask, didn't you see that?
Attendees then learn how to encrypt their emails, documents, and even their chats. They also get an introduction to Tails, the operating system on which Edward Snowden's leaked NSA documents were stored. One of the visitors, Ricardo Clement, says he enjoys the casual learning environment.
This is my second crypto party visit. One of the things I learned in the first one is that, you know, I thought people attending to crypto parties was kind of a WikiLeaks freaks or something. It's just the opposite. They're very humble people that know a lot about cryptography and are here willing to learn.
But I'm still a little bit skeptical. So I asked Michael whether it really is possible to make your system impenetrable to the NSA.
We can't have a complete security. We can't have complete privacy. But we can make it much more expensive to find this information.
Crypto parties happen in hundreds of cities all around the world. If you're interested, just go ahead and Google it. But they are particularly popular in Berlin, a city with a long and difficult history with surveillance.
Yeah, first of all, welcome, of course. My name is Franziska Kelch, or Fran. I'm your guide then.
Franziska is a tour guide at a former prison that's been converted into a museum. This is where Berlin's secret police, known as the Stasi, kept enemies of the state. To this day, it's a place that exemplifies some of the most invasive surveillance carried out by any government. Franziska starts out by explaining how prisoners were treated in their 3x3 meter cells.
No push-ups, no sit-ups, no running around. Sleeping was not allowed. We're not allowed to hide. Exercise was also not allowed. Not allowed to lean against the wall. Was a rule for sitting as well. One of the rules for the cell. During the day, you had to sit on your chair or stand or walk around. Not allowed to lean against the wall. So you were not able to relax and fall asleep. You were only allowed to use the bed between 9 in the evening and 6 in the morning. During the day, the guards looked in every 3 minutes. During the night, the guards looked in every 15 minutes, and when they looked in, you had to be visible somewhere.
One of the prisoners brought here in the 1980s was Gilbert Furian. He was sent here for distributing pamphlets that were critical of the East German government.
Das war schon als
I definitely intended to provoke the East German government, but I never thought the backlash would be as bad as it was.
Ich habe nicht mit so einem Echo gerechnet.
The 33 months he spent in this and other prisons were marked by intense emotional and psychological torture. Though Gilbert developed incredible mental resilience in the face of these attacks, not everyone managed to withstand the onslaught.
In einer Zelle, in der eine junge Frau saß,
a young woman in one of the cells, she was 19 years old, was discovered by a guard during one of his routine checks. He found that she had scratched the following words into the walls with her bare fingernails. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to end my life. Console my family.
Gilbert didn't know it at the time, but the regime that was oppressing him was crumbling. When on November 9th, 1989, the Berlin Wall came down, East Germany would soon cease to exist.
Any second now, the Berlin Wall will be broken into. A huge cheers
going. Once that took place, a very unusual thing happened. A law in the newly reunited Germany was passed that permitted people who had been spied on by the East German government to actually review their files.
Nach dem Ende der DDR
I applied and looked into my files. I remember sitting in the auditorium, along with other people, all with very serious expressions on their faces.
Gilbert was shocked to find out that he'd been under surveillance for 20 years. An elaborate network of colleagues, acquaintances, and government informants had been spying on his every move.
The first time I read my files, I remember being surprised because I had no idea that I had been watched for so many years. But I think I took it quite well, because at the end of the day, the GDR, my big enemy, had ceased to exist.
What he found inside the documents was detailed, often trivial descriptions of his life. Here's Gilbert reading an excerpt.
11:36, vor Schreiber in Richtung Thälmannplatz ab.
The subject, codenamed Ryder, set off for Thälmannplatz. He fell asleep during the trip and woke up soon after the station Spittelmarkt. At 11:53, he disembarked the subway at Hausvogteiplatz, where he waited for his next train. He then took that train to Alexanderplatz. At 11:55, he got out of the train at Spittelmarkt and walked towards his office, which he reached at 11:57.
In that sense, the content is similar to what any secret police would find if it rifled through your or my life. Mostly mundane details. But the content isn't the issue. The real problem is, of course, the violation, the unease about the invasion of privacy. And that's something we can all relate to, as more and more is uncovered about how much our data is being spied on. But unlike the average citizen today who has no real way of addressing this unease, Gilbert got to confront his tormentors.
He went up the escalator. I went down the opposite side.
One day, long after the Stasi had been dissolved, Gilbert bumped into one of his interrogators in a shopping mall.
Ich habe fürchterliches Herzklopfen gekriegt, aber ich denke nicht aus Angst.
My heart suddenly started racing, but not out of fear. After all, East Germany had fallen and the Stasi was gone. I think my heart was beating so hard because my body had its own memory and knew what this face stood for. I followed him down the escalator. He was standing at a bargain bin. I tapped him on the shoulder. He turned around and said, Gilbert.
Confusingly, the interrogator acted like they were old friends. They began chatting. In fact, he readily agreed to being interviewed for a book Gilbert was writing about his experiences in prison. Over time, the interviews gave him a sense of closure from the trauma he'd been through.
He said he felt very guilty because he had helped to destroy many lives. But you know what? That is an insight he never would have arrived at if his state had not imploded.
Barring numerous regime changes around the world, most people will not get to do what Gilbert did, that is, read Big Brother's account of their lives. What we can do, however, is try to make it a little harder for governments and other forces to get our data, perhaps through a crypto party or through being more conscious of our digital hygiene. One thing's certain, history is watching. For DW in Berlin, Germany, I'm Tony Andrews.
This report was brought to you by DW.